Welcome to The Cap, where we are here to speak with college reps and other professionals in the field of college admissions to help answer all your questions and guide you through every step of the process. So if you're serious about college admissions, you've come to the right place. Are you ready? Let's talk about it. And now, here's your host, Dr. John Durante.
Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and I am here to introduce you to college admissions representatives and other professionals in the field of college admissions. Our purpose is to serve you, the students and parents, so that you may gain insight straight from the people who ultimately make the decisions. Regardless of whether you apply to a particular school being highlighted in a given episode, you should listen to all of them, as each guest will give you tremendous insight and advice on every aspect of the college admissions process, prompting you to come up with your own follow-up questions for when you visit campus or meet with a college admissions representative yourself. Don't forget to visit our website, www.collegeadmissionstalk.com, or the show notes of each episode to access the alphabetical list of all the colleges available with the related audio link to the right of each school. The alphabetical list provides you with on-demand access to all of the episodes so that you may listen whenever you wish. And if you want to receive links to episodes before they are released on the podcast, along with other related resources, please fill out the email opt-in form also available on our website and in the show notes of each episode. Lastly, please email me with any questions or comments at collegeadmissionstalk@gmail.com. So are you ready? Let's talk about it. Welcome to The Cap, the College Admissions Process Podcast. I am your host, John Durante, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you today Benjamin Baum, who's the Vice President of Enrollment at St. John's College. Now, St. John's College is part of the colleges that change lives. And we had the executive director, Anne Morano, back in episode 151. Now, Anne Morano introduced Benjamin and me at the NACAC conference down in Baltimore. That's the National Association for College Admissions Counseling. Ben, it's so great to have you here. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
It is my pleasure and honor. I know we've been talking about this for a long time, and finally here we are. So Ben, how does being part of the Colleges That Change Lives influence the educational philosophy and goals for St. John's College?
Yeah, well, St. John's actually is the third oldest college in the United States. We were founded in 1696, before there was a United States. And so as a result, there's a lot of history here. But it was in 1996, in fact, that Lauren Pope wrote his famous Colleges That Changed Lives. And he had selected 40 colleges that he thought really stood out. These were small liberal arts colleges that were doing something very different from what, you know, most of mainstream higher ed was doing. And St. John's, very proudly, was one of these original 40. And frankly, I think what we do at St. John's hasn't been influenced so much by Colleges That Change Lives as much as it's a celebration of how unique St. John's is, the values that we have, how we have put so much emphasis on a unique brand of education that we think is transformative, that we think makes a huge difference in students' lives. And I think that's what you see in common across colleges that change lives, that we are a diverse group of institutions. Some are religious institutions, some are smaller, some are a bit larger. Some are places with no curricular requirements, an open curriculum. Some have very rigid curricular requirements, a core curriculum. And yet we all share in common this willingness to buck some of the trends of higher ed, to do things really differently, all in mind having students transform in really unexpected, magical ways over the course of their 4 years.
So you're unique in terms of your values, and you're talking about doing things differently. So Ben, can you provide an overview of what makes St. John's College so unique?
Absolutely. And I would venture to go as far as to say that St. John's may be the most unique college in the United States. And lots of places do things very differently. There's a huge diversity of institutions in the United States, and that's a wonderful thing. What St. John's does, though, isn't really replicated anywhere else. And at the heart of it is our curriculum. We call it our Great Books curriculum. But all of our students are doing the same curriculum together. It's a shared experience of reading roughly 200 books And the books start in the ancient Greek world freshman year. The first books you read will be Homer's Iliad, will be Euclid's Elements. You read from the ancient Greek world into the modern world by the time that you're a senior. And the books are interdisciplinary. And so, in fact, the degree you receive from St. John's is not one of the typical majors that you hear at other colleges. It's a Bachelor of Arts in Liberal Arts. That's an interdisciplinary degree across dozens of different subject areas. And so we are reading great pieces of literature. We're reading great pieces of philosophy. We're reading original writings of scientists and mathematicians, of composers. The idea is we're pulling all of these different subjects together and finding connections between them and going to the original authors and reading these books. And so when students come to class after having read these books, what they're doing is having a discussion. There are no lectures at St. John's. Every single class will be a discussion around the books led by a faculty that is there solely to lead these discussions. They don't focus on research. They are there to help guide students in the course of these seminar discussions. And so this model is really a unique one to St. John's. I said earlier that we were founded in 1696 as the third oldest college in America. But in fact, this curriculum that we developed was built in the 1930s. And it's been true with modification over time ever since then. But at its heart, it's about reading these great books and having really great conversations about them.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate you talking about the great books curriculum, which, of course, St. John's College is well known for, where you read 200 books from some of the greatest minds of all time. I really appreciate the interdisciplinary approach. So, Ben, could you explain anything else in terms of how this approach fosters a transformative educational experience for your students?
When I talk to students who come to St. John's from the first day in the admissions process where they reach out to us to the day they graduate, what you find are students have really taken ownership of their education. They've really thought about what does it mean to be a human in this world and all the different manifestations of that. We don't just read these books to have an intellectual conversation and then close the book and forget about it. We read them to think about who we are philosophically, who we are in terms of physics, who we are in this world, our biology, our religion, our all these different manifestations of human identity. And you can't help but have these conversations about these great books and not make them personal, to not think about yourself. And so students aren't the same student they started as after 4 years at St. John's. And I think that's one of the things that makes us so special, that this is a transformative experience, not just for your own mind, but for your whole being. And that's what great books should be about. That's what it should be about, reading the greatest thinkers in history. It's not just an intellectual endeavor. It's really an endeavor for the whole person.
Well, it's definitely unique and special. And I love how you talk about you're reading these books from the greatest minds in history. And, you know, the hidden message there is that you're reading them to reflect upon yourself, right? In terms of who you are as a person, in terms of how you contribute to society. Am I right, Ben?
Absolutely. And I think the other element of it is that it's a really shared experience. And so we're reading these books, but we are showing up in class to talk about them. And so the peers you have in the classroom are just as important as the authors themselves. Your peers come from all different backgrounds, have all different perspectives. They're raising ideas that maybe you didn't see in reading one of these books. And it's that through that conversation that your eyes really open. And sometimes you'll have a peer in the classroom who convinces you, that changes your mind. And sometimes you're the one changing someone else's mind. Or in fact, everyone just has to agree to disagree. But the kind of conversation we have in the classroom is really beautiful, because you see students genuinely talking to each other, genuinely listening to each other. I think listening is a big part of this experience. It's not a debate. It's not a chance to win an argument. It's a chance to really learn both from the author and from each other.
Well, I appreciate you talking about the different backgrounds and perspectives where students really listen to each other, because frankly, what we're not talking about yet is that, you know, they come to St. John's College, 4 years of reading these tremendous books, again, talking about different perspectives, listening to each other. And what we didn't mention yet is that those are skills that, regardless of whether you become a teacher, a lawyer, an engineer, those are skills that when you're working with others, you really need to have. So how do you think that your philosophy helps prepare students further for whatever careers they choose once they leave St. John's College?
Our students go on to do anything and everything you can imagine. As you imagine in a curriculum that is so interdisciplinary, that is so broad, we have students who come and are particularly drawn to the sciences and math. We have students who are particularly drawn to literature and philosophy and history. And so those might lead them all down different paths. But I think there's a shared experience in doing this of a real intellectual growth and excitement for ideas. And so there's no question there are certain patterns that you see from our graduates. And so we send a lot of our graduates to law school. In fact, we were recently ranked as, I think, the number 15 school in the country for the percentage of our graduates who go on to law school. We are, in fact, the number one college in the country for the percentage of our graduates who go on to PhD programs in the humanities. And we're in the top 10 in almost every PhD field. But we send a lot of people directly into teaching. We produce a lot of teachers. We produce a lot of journalists, people who go into government. And then we produce students who do really out-of-the-box things. In fact, some of the most important vineyards in Napa Valley are founded by Johnnies.
And we
don't teach, you know, how to be a vintner at St. John's, but we teach people to think differently and to find real passion in what they do. And as a result, you find people who have taken these really unusual paths. And we encourage that in a number of ways, not just through the curriculum. We're a small college. We have about 1,000 students overall. Mm-hmm. And we have great career development offices that work with students one-on-one from the very beginning to help them find internships, to find opportunities during the school year. We guarantee funding for every student to have at least one internship in the summer. And so you'll see students who come, and one summer they're interning at the Attorney General's office in Washington, D.C. And the next summer they are working in a physics lab with a faculty member, and they're trying to debate for themselves. Is it physics their passion? Is it politics? Or are there actually ways of combining these things together? And I think Johnnies are particularly good at finding the synchronicities between some of these things.
Well, that is so cool. And I really love the interdisciplinary nature of it all and your philosophy of cultivating amongst your students the idea of thinking differently, thinking outside of the box. I really appreciate that. But Ben, beyond academics, what can students expect from the St. John's College community and student life, and are there specific extracurricular or co-curricular activities that define the St. John's experience?
We're a small college, and we're deliberately small. We have, in fact, an unusually two campuses. And the reason we have those two campuses is because we want to be as small as we are. Our original campus, founded in 1696, is in Annapolis, Maryland, just outside of Washington, D.C. We have about 500 students in Annapolis. And then in 1964, we developed a second campus in Santa Fe, New Mexico, on the other side of the country. And there's another 400 students in Santa Fe. And the reason for this, rather than just growing one campus, was to have the ability for students to really go through this shared experience together, genuinely knowing each other, as we think is possible for, you know, a student population that is 500 students or less. And so on each campus, you'll find different manifestations of what students get up to outside of the classroom. In Annapolis, we're close to Washington, D.C. Students might be in the city. They're walking around the cobblestone streets of this great capital of Maryland that's right along the water of Chesapeake Bay. We have students who do things like sailing and rowing. We're famous in Annapolis for an unusual sport. We play croquet. And in fact, the St. John's croquet team is the national championship croquet team. But what we're really famous for is every year there is a croquet match of St. John's versus the United States Naval Academy, which is across the street. And thousands of people turn out every year to watch this croquet match. And I think it encapsulates in some ways the spirit of St. John's, at least in Annapolis, where it is this unusual, quirky sport. Our students throw themselves into it. They have a lot of fun with it. They dress up. Often you'll see students, you know, dressed in kind of Edwardian wear with a lot of bow ties and hats and just having a great time at this unusual event, our kind of answer to most traditional colleges, homecoming. So you see all of this happen in Annapolis, and then in Santa Fe, you go there and it's the same, you know, roughly 400 to 500 students who are reading these great books. And yet outside of class in Santa Fe, they are down in this arts capital of the world. Santa Fe is known for its arts of all sorts, more traditional arts, particularly Native American and Latino arts. The arts you find at the Opera House. The Santa Fe Opera House is one of the most famous in the world. And so the arts community draws a lot of people to Santa Fe. The mountains are the other thing that draw a lot of people to Santa Fe. And so we are perched in the mountains where quite literally you walk out of your dorm and you can go hiking up some of the Rocky Mountains, some of the tallest in the country. And so students are often drawn for the hiking, for the skiing, for the opportunity to be in the great outdoors. And so these two different campuses, two really different sets of experiences, students can come for all 4 years to one, or in fact, they can spend time on one and then spend time on the other. And so you can mix and match these in unusual ways. The kind of intellectual culture of St. John's, I think, permeates both though. And so you have students doing all these different activities, exploring all these different things, in part based on their geography. But in the end, the same student might be hiking up a mountain in Santa Fe or sitting by the water in Annapolis, but they're still doing it while thumbing through Homer's Iliad and wanting to talk to the person next to them about the, you know, amazing thing they read about Achilles that day.
Well, that is awesome. And I know that you're the vice president of enrollment. So I was just curious for our listeners, Ben, you're the vice president of enrollment for both campuses, correct?
That's right. We're one college with two campuses. And so our admissions team, half of them are in Annapolis, half are in Santa Fe. We travel to each campus all the time, so we know each campus really well. And like I said, students can travel between the campuses too. You might end up spending 4 years on one campus, but you can choose to spend a year on one and then the year on the next. And so one college with two campuses is one of the things that we offer students. It's a really different kind of experience than most traditional colleges.
Well, that's fantastic. And I love how you talk about two campuses, two sets of experiences. So let's just dig a little deeper. In other words, if I apply and I want to spend 2 years in Maryland and my last 2 years in New Mexico, how do I go about doing that? Is there a cap in terms of how many students could go to one campus as opposed to the other? How does that work?
The students apply to one campus or the other. You pick whichever one you'd like to start at. And if you are admitted on that campus, you will start your freshman year there, and you could spend the whole of your freshman year there and then make a decision whether you'd like to spend another year in Annapolis or go out to Santa Fe or vice versa. And you can mix and match these in any way you'd like. And so, in fact, we have students who might spend 2 years in Annapolis and then choose to spend the next 2 years in Santa Fe, or maybe you spend the first year in Santa Fe and then you want to try at Annapolis for sophomore year and come back to Santa Fe for junior and senior year. Any combination is possible.
That is so cool and unique. I appreciate you sharing that. And Ben, could you walk us through the general process that St. John's College uses to review applications, while emphasizing the key factors and qualities that you look for in prospective students?
So because we're such a unique institution, we are looking for students who are going to be a fit for reading these great books and talking about them all the time, to be a part of this small community that values ideas so much. And as a result, our application process can look a little bit different from the process that you might find at other colleges. There are certain things we look at that are the same as other colleges. So for example, we're looking at your students' transcript. We want to make sure they've taken challenging classes and they've done well in those classes. We often, you know, ask students for recommendations. We want to hear what their teachers have to say about them in the classroom. They fill out forms like the Common App. Really what we focus on in our process is learning about that student's interest in St. John's, their excitement for what we do. And that tends to come through two particular aspects of the application: the essays that we ask students to write, and the interviews that we may do with them. And so for many, many years, St. John's has required an essay about a book that the student considers great and how it's influenced them or their thinking in some way. And this essay has by far been the most important thing in our application process. It's where we learn how the person thinks about books. And we have students who are excellent students in their high schools who apply to St. John's, who write great essays, who are a great fit for us, and we admit them. We have other students who may have had more flawed records in high school. Maybe there were particular subjects they struggled in. Maybe there were particular times during their high school experience where the kind of confines of a traditional American high school experience wasn't the right fit for that student. And yet coming to St. John's would be the right fit. And so I can look at a flawed transcript, but then I can read recommendations and I can read an essay about a great book, and I can get a really great sense from those things about whether that student would thrive at St. John's, even if they have a more checkered history in their high schools. And so the essay has always been this very important part of our process. This year, we innovated in a pretty dramatic way. We launched what we call our discussion-based application. And this is a new experiment this year where we don't ask students to write any essay as a part of the admissions process. They do send us a writing sample from their high school, but instead of writing an essay, especially for the college admissions process, they will interview with us, really in three occasions. They will interview with one of the admissions staff. They will interview with one of our faculty members. And then they'll actually participate in a prospective student seminar online. And those three opportunities are designed to really get the student immersed in our community, to give them a sense of what we do, but also for us to get to know them in ways that I think are really productive for figuring out if the student is someone who's going to thrive at St. John's. And we wanted to innovate because while writing is a big component of what we do at St. John's, students will write essays all the time as they read books and they talk about them. But discussion is equally, if not bigger, a component of what we do in the classroom. We expect all students to be talking to each other in the course of each class. And so as a result, we wanted an application that really reflected that discussion component of what we do. And that's what we launched this year. And it's really exciting to see now more than 100 students who have applied using the discussion-based application. We're a small college with a small application pool. 100 is actually quite a bit for us. And so we're excited to see where this goes, but we're only halfway through the admissions process for the year.
Well, you're doing a great job really explaining in terms of the essay what you're looking for. And if a student comes to St. John's College for an interview, again, the type of student that you're looking for. But let's talk a little bit more about that interview. What advice would you give to a student in terms of how to prep for the interview at St. John's College?
So I think what we do differently than most colleges that have offer interviews is that we put students directly in touch with one of our faculty members. And so that's not meant to be a conversation where the student needs to prepare a resume in advance of all the wonderful things they've done in their lives. That's an opportunity to actually talk with one of the faculty who may teach them in the classroom about ideas, about the things they care about. And so I can guarantee you, while every faculty member will ask different questions, they're all going to ask about books that the students are reading. And they're going to want to hear about, why do you like these books? Why are you reading them? And I think some of the most extraordinary interviews that we have don't look like other college interviews. Instead, they sound just like fascinating conversations about literature or philosophy or math. They're the things that the student cares about so much so that in the course of an interview, they forget it's an interview and it's just a conversation with another fascinating person who wants to talk about ideas.
Well, that's terrific. And so can you share an example, whether it's an essay or an answer given at the interview, that let's look at it from the other side, that hurt a student's chances of acceptance?
Yeah, I think the most challenging essays in particular are where the student is trying to write an essay that is intended for the admissions office. And right. As a result, the student forgets themselves in the process. Mm. And so there are lots of different kinds of examples of these essays. Most common one might be the resume essay, where the student is listing all the things they've done, all the things they've accomplished. Those can be useful things to know about the student, although there are other places in the application to share those things. And the problem with these kind of resume essays is you get to the end of them and you really haven't learned anything new about the student. And you haven't learned, in the case of a place like St. John's, why it is that this institution resonates with them, why they want to explore these books and ideas and discussions together with us. And so putting aside the college application process, I think students thrive best in essays and interviews when they think just genuinely about themselves, about the things they care about, the things that are priorities to them, and they share them with us. And that passion comes through, that excitement comes through, and that fit for what we do at St. John's, I think, usually comes through. And in fact, one of the reasons why we launched this discussion-based application process is because I think so many students are feeling constrained by the traditional essays they write in the college application process at most places. And they are kind of following a playbook that they think the college admissions officer wants to hear. And it's stressful. Right. We hear all the time about how stressed out high school students are in the course of their senior year, trying to balance their work with the expectations of applying to college. And when we sit down with a student for an interview, suddenly we see who the real person is. And so I have read not the strongest essays before and then interviewed a student who I thought, this student is exactly the kind of person who's going to thrive at St. John's, because all of the anxiety that went along with the essay dissipated in the course of a natural conversation between two people. And that doesn't mean it's a fit for everyone. There are plenty of students who might listen to this podcast and think, I would never want to do that interview. I like the idea of sitting down by myself and writing an essay that I can edit and perfect. And that is fine. All of us shine in different ways. And what we want to do in this application process is give students the opportunity to shine in the way that best suits them, that also reflects a student who's going to really succeed in our 4-year experience at St. John's.
Well, Ben, I really appreciate that, because what it sounds to me is that you're really giving the opportunity for the students to shine. If they're a little bit of an introvert and they write better than, you know, interviewing, then they have the opportunity to give you that essay. If, in fact, they're the type of student that lights up the room and has so much to say and they're smiling and, you know, their passion just shines when, you know, you sit down to talk to them, then they have the opportunity to come and interview with you. But what I also like is you talked about the fact that a mistake that a lot of students make is that whether it's the interview or the essay, they're not sharing anything new about themselves. And they're essentially regurgitating information that's already in other parts of the application. For example, there's an activity sheet, right? Students list 3, 7, 6, 10, however many activities that they participate in. If the essay is just repeating what's in your activity sheet, it's a missed opportunity, right? Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. We are looking at every part of the application as a new space to learn about the student. And the more opportunities the student takes to share some different facet of themselves, so we get this full picture of who they are, that makes for a stronger application. And so I learn about their extracurricular activities in one place. I can learn about their passion for a book in another place. I can learn about the sport they play somewhere else. I can learn about how they think about some other set of ideas, whatever they choose to share with us. But each one of these is a different opportunity to share something new.
Well, we appreciate that. And you also talked about not neglecting to mention students, whether, again, it's the interview or the essay, why St. John's. So could you give us one example, Ben, of someone that responded to the why St. John's prompt or that question that really resonated with you?
There are so many good ways of responding to this. And so there isn't one great example, but I can give a lot of them. Sometimes it's really practical things. We have a summer program called Summer Academy at St. John's, where we welcome rising sophomores, rising juniors, rising seniors in high school to come and actually take classes with our faculty and live on our campuses in Annapolis and Santa Fe. So sometimes some of the best Why St. John's essays I read are from students who have done this program, loved their experience, and they're sharing that with me. They're telling me about what it was actually being on campus, which books they were, which of our faculty they were chatting with, which of the peers that got them excited about whatever subject it was that they were studying. That's a common way that I learn about why the student's so interested in us. But sometimes it's something less tangible. It's not necessarily that they know everything there is to know about the college. We have about 20% of our students are international students at St. John's. And so many of these students haven't had a chance to come and visit. And so they're doing their research online about us. And what they're sharing in Why St. John's is how they looked at our reading list and they saw Homer and they saw Sappho and they saw Einstein and they saw Shakespeare and they saw W.B. Du Bois and they saw all of these authors who just excited them. And so what they're writing about is how books have played this major role in their life so far. And then what they see in St. John's is an opportunity to explore them in a much deeper way than they've ever had the opportunity in the past. And so I think of myself as extraordinarily privileged working at St. John's. I have to talk about the college in all sorts of ways, from very practical things like, you know, what are the dorms like, to what happens in our classrooms. But I don't think there's any college in the world where on a regular basis I'm chatting with students about Sappho's poetry, or I'm answering questions about what I find so compelling about Plato's Meno. That's a real story. I had a prospective student ask me, what is it about Plato's Meno that you think is so great? These are the kinds of things that characterize Johnny's, and it's a great privilege for me to work for a place where prospective students and our current students want to have these real conversations.
So give us the answer. What do you think is so great about Plato's Meno?
The Mino Bennett is kind of a special place in St. John's. We actually send our prospective students an actual book, an actual copy of Plato's Mino. And that is an unusual thing for any college to do, but we do it because it kind of encapsulates the kind of dialectic conversation that happens at the college. This is a place about conversation around ideas. And the Mino is Socrates and Mino having this conversation. They don't always do it right. They don't always do it in the most complimentary or flattering way. But we learn a lot from watching this interaction. And so it forms one of the early moments where we reflect on what are we actually doing in a classroom by reading a book that was written 3,000 years ago.
Right. Well, 3,000 years ago, and yet it relates so much to today. And another question, and you kind of touched upon it, but you didn't give us the answer, is what are the dorms like?
They're so different depending on the campus. And so in Annapolis, we were founded in 1696. Some of our oldest dorms are actually 18th century. We have a lot of 19th century dorms. These are historic brick buildings along College Creek. Some of them have views of the water. The history of the buildings are often one of the things that draw people to Annapolis. I mean, these are places where George Washington stepped on the floor, where famously the Marquis de Lafayette, right after the Revolutionary War, waltzed at a waltz party. And so there's a lot of history that draws people to the experience at St. John's, including our dorms, with all the good and bad things that come into historic, beautiful buildings from the 18th and 19th century. In Santa Fe, the buildings are newer, but they're all done in adobe style. That is a real feature of what it means to be in New Mexico. And they are really perched in the mountains, the southern portion of the Rocky Mountains. And so quite literally, every floor of every dorm at Santa Fe has a balcony that overlooks the mountains. And so it's really this extraordinary experience of waking up in the morning and looking out the window or walking out of your balcony and looking at some of the highest mountains in the country, this big blue sky. And all of our students are either living on campus, as they must do during freshman and sophomore year, or they might choose to live off campus during junior and senior year, but they're not living far away. They're all living very, very close to the center of things. And that kind of community is a big part of our experience as well.
Well, that's so cool. And it sounds like you have such a great community on both campuses. And this has been a phenomenal conversation, Ben. But before I get to the last question, I have to ask, is there a question that I didn't ask or perhaps a topic that just didn't come up about St. John's College that you'd like to share with us now?
I think the most important thing to know about St. John's is that we might be the most intellectual college in America. We're the kind of place that draws students who love books, who love ideas, and they want to talk about them all the time. And that kind of culture to our place is unique. It's not like any other college. And so we rely on people listening to a podcast like this, whether you are a student listening directly, whether you're a teacher or a parent, who's hearing this and thinking, I know the kind of student who would really thrive here. We aren't trying to be a college for every student in the world. We're trying to be the right college for the right student for us. And we rely on people like you who are sharing the kind of story of St. John's, which is the perfect fit for that perfect student.
Well, you're definitely an intellectual college and so unique with the fact that you read those 200 books. I'm thinking of so many students that I know that have taken AP literature that would absolutely thrive on either one of your campuses. So again, Ben, you're absolutely right. We put this podcast together so that we could share and really pull the curtain back on colleges like St. John's College that is not necessarily in the top 20, right? And you mentioned it, but I want to repeat it. There is a school for everyone, but not every school is for everyone. So students, if you're an intellect, if you love to read, if you love to share ideas, talk about it, collaborate, even debate, St. John's College just may be the right fit for you. So Ben, this has been a phenomenal conversation, but unfortunately, it does lead us to the last question, which is, as Vice President of Enrollment, what are your top pieces of advice that you would provide a student and their parents getting ready for the college admissions process?
There's so many things I can share, but I think the most important thing is, it goes back to actually, St. John's and the unique nature of this institution. We're one of thousands of colleges in the country. And if you read the news or you look at, you know, terrible college rankings that are out there, it will seem like there's only, you know, 20 colleges in the country. That's all there is. That's all anyone's ever talking about. And yet, in fact, there are thousands. And some of them are the right fit for you. And you will only know it if you are out there exploring these and you are visiting and you are reaching out to us online and you are taking our virtual tours and you're reading our blogs or going onto our Instagram. We put ourselves out there as a college to help students find the right fit for themselves. And so what I'd really encourage students to do is to explore, to really immerse yourself. And if you can visit, I mean, that I think is in fact the experience that is unlike any other. You can read about a college as much as you can online, but when you can come to campus and you can actually sit in on a class, or as we do at St. John's, actually include you in a prospective student seminar where you can talk about a book, you're going to meet the faculty who are going to teach you. You're going to meet the students who will be your peers. And those experiences can't be replicated entirely online. And so that exploration process for students to find the college that's the right fit for them, I think that is no doubt the most important piece of advice that I could share.
Well, I'm so happy that we had this conversation because St. John's College, you're absolutely right, it is so unique. And there are so many students that would thrive in your environment that frankly don't know about it because it is a small school. So again, I'm so happy that we had this conversation because I know it's going to help so many students and their parents as they navigate through this process. Ben, you are awesome. I hope to have you again. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Our pleasure. And to everyone out there, good luck and best wishes with the college search. Take care, everyone. Thank you for joining us on this episode of The CAP, the College Admissions Process Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please don't forget to tell a friend and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and wherever you listen to your podcasts. I am your host, John Durante, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode of The CAP.